So, as your fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, and as one who shares in the glory that will be revealed, I urge the elders among you, give a shepherd's care to God's flock among you, exercising oversight not merely as a duty but willingly under God's direction, not for shameful profit but eagerly. And do not lord it over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades away. Thus Peter is writing in his first letter in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Peter has been writing to the Christians of Asia Minor, likely sometime in the early 60s, and he's been writing to them in chapter 1 to encourage them, based on the rebirth through the resurrection, the hope of salvation, the value of their salvation, and why it's so important for them to be holy and to love one another. In chapter 2, they are sustained by God's message. Christians are a temple and spiritual Israel. They are to maintain honorable conduct before everyone. They are called upon to suffer for doing right as Christ has set an example for them. And from there, in chapter 3, he's really getting into the idea of, okay, you're being watched. You're in a position where everybody around you is ambivalent at best and hostile at worst. And so how should you conduct yourselves? And so he talks about how wives and husbands should conduct themselves, as he had spoken, how slaves should conduct themselves, how Christians represent Christ, how they do good and suffer for it if necessary. And they defend the faith with gentleness and respect, and how they are saved through baptism. And this has led to, in chapter 3 and 4, the core teaching, which is really pervasive through chapters 2 through 4, this idea that they are to do good even if it causes them to suffer for it. Because they need to suffer and cease from sin, no matter what the Gentiles say. The idea that the end and judgment is near in chapter 4 and in verse 7, because the end and judgment is near, they need to be self-controlled toward mighty for the sake of prayer, to love one another, to be hospitable toward one another, and to use the gifts given to them to serve one another. And they should not be astonished that they are going through trials and difficulties. And leading up to verse 19, that let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator as they do good. So understanding that you should persevere through trials, still try to do good, even though people are trying to harm you, because that's what we've been called to in Christ Jesus. So if you notice, this is a pretty significant shift here that Peter makes, talking to now the elders among them and having this exhortation. And this is very much wrapping up the letter. There's going to have these exhortations. He first has exhortation for elders, then for the youth and everyone. And he's going to have some more of that and then finally provide the final conclusion. The fact that we have the significant shift shows that he has been able to set forth and express the bulk of his concern. And that in chapter 4 and verse 19, that concern has been thoroughly satisfied. That they have been instructed and exhorted they need to suffer for doing good, if called upon and trusting themselves a faithful Creator. And now he's able to start providing counsel for how Christians should conduct themselves, particularly among one another, and how to endure everything they're going through. And again, we're looking at Christians in churches who are in circumstances where they are being at best tolerated with suspicion and at worst actively persecuted. And so how should the Christians conduct themselves in light of these things? How should they move forward? And he first wants to talk as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings to the elders who are among them. So elders here, this is when we get to some vagary in the Greek. Elder is the word presbyteros, and it can refer to the office of an elder, or it can refer to an older man. 1 Timothy 3 gives the descriptions of the office of an elder. But then in chapter 5 and verse 1, he talks about honoring older men, you know, older men as fathers. And older there, presbytery, are not just those who have the office of an elder, but any man who has reached a certain age. It is very much believed and held in confidence that the elders that Peter's talking about here are not old men just in terms of old men, but are actually holding the office. And that's because of the fact that they are called upon in verse 2 to exercise a shepherd's care and to maintain oversight, which are, we'll talk about that in a minute, but the work of this office of an elder. What's notable is that Peter says that he is a fellow elder, and he's a witness of Christ's sufferings. As a fellow elder, this is interesting because there is not a time beforehand where we see an apostle calling themselves an elder. In fact, we see a pretty significant delineation. We don't see really confusion of those terms in the book of Acts. James, the Lord's brother, is an elder in the church in Jerusalem. And he, you know, and the elders and the apostles will make decisions like in Acts 15. But those are two different categories. Peter here is seen as an elder. Peter considers himself as an elder. And the conclusion that we should draw from that is not that apostles reckon themselves as elders. We don't see that otherwise. But that Peter, beyond being an apostle, now is exercising the role of an elder. That he is serving as an elder, likely in the church in Rome, based on 1 Peter 5 and verse 13. That he would therefore meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. There's a lot we'd love to know about Peter. We know he's married, according to Matthew 8:14 and 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 5. And you know, did he have children? If he's an elder, he likely had children and raised them faithfully in spite of everything. And so he is serving as an elder. And he calls himself a fellow elder. He doesn't try to indicate any kind of superiority. He doesn't put himself above and beyond the rest of any kind of elders or all elders. We should not even assume that he is the sole elder in the church in Rome. For that matter, there could be multiple churches in Rome based on Paul's letter to the Romans. And as an elder of one of the churches, he's probably also has other elders. In the New Testament, we see elders are a plurality of them in every local church. He doesn't bring this up, of course, because it's of immaterial. He is serving as an elder in his role, and he's also a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And he shares in the glory that will be revealed. The idea of witness is something that's very important for Peter, and important for the apostles in general, that his standing is based upon the fact that he saw things. The irony here, of course, is that the fact he says he's a witness of Christ's sufferings, in the gospel accounts, all of the apostles scatter when Jesus is imprisoned. And in fact, there's a very detailed story of how, okay, Peter watches him as he goes on trial and as he's being questioned in things, but that's when he is questioned and he denies Christ three times and then he runs off. He, as far as we can tell, is not actually watching Jesus go through all of these things. But he is a witness in as much as he was present to hear about it. He received the hearing of it. He was part of the general witness. And who knows, maybe he was at some point from a distance watching these things. That is possible. It's just not the way that it's exactly recorded there in the gospel accounts. And we should notice that in all of this, Peter is acting in a very different way then will become the customs of those who say they are his descendants on a bishopric of Rome and the Pope and all that stuff. And we should note that there's a significant difference between the current claims and the way that Peter here is behaving. He uses his personal testimony here and the fact that he is sharing the glory to be revealed. And we should see that, especially in the latter of chapter 4, that he has suffered himself. And there's probably some overtone there. He has suffered himself, and now he is serving in this role. And he's calling upon people who are in this role and trying to encourage them and exhort them on what's going on here. They are to shepherd the flock. They are to exercise oversight, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. And they should do this willingly, not under obligation. So the elder, presbyteros, is the shepherd, Greek poimeno, the flock and exercise oversight, episcopeo. And this is one of those things where we have some pretty decently clear evidence from the New Testament period, and we have complete confusion of what goes on afterward. Afterward, very soon afterward, you'll start getting guys like Ignatius of Antioch starting to agitate for having a single episcopal bishop over the presbyteroi, the elders. And that will become the model that will define Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy, and even the Church of England. You will then see kind of the grabbing hold of the pastor-shepherd imagery. And you will have a lot of churches today who have a solitary individual or a college or consortium of individuals who they call pastors, who are doing various functions, but generally the roles of evangelist and minister in various ways. And this leads to a lot of confusion because this is not the way that things are going on in the pages of the New Testament. As we see here, Peter has made it about as clear as it can be that the roles of shepherding and exercise of oversight are the responsibility of the elders, the presbyteroi. It is not what the evangelists are doing, the evangelists are proclaiming the gospel, i.e. preachers, ministers. Now, are elders ministers in their own way? Absolutely they are. And in Peter, we kind of have the marriage not just of the fact that he's an apostle and an elder, but of course, as an apostle, he's also a proclaimer. He's a preacher. He's the first to have preached the gospel. And in Peter's example, we can see that it is appropriate if there is an evangelist, a preacher, who is qualified to serve as an elder, and the congregation consents to being thus shepherded for the evangelist to serve as one of the elders. But that does not make him the elder, the pastor. It means he is one of many pastors, because every example is of a multiplicity. Elders in the church of Ephesus in Acts 20, Paul writes to the elders in the church in Philippi, so on and so forth. And as we see in Acts 14:23, that the Holy Spirit would make in Acts 20:28, the Holy Spirit makes them overseers of the flock among them, that they have elders in every church. This is not where Peter is acting like he has episcopal authority over the Christians of Asia Minor, the elders in Asia Minor. He's providing an exhortation. He says, as a fellow elder, there is no imagination here that he is somehow above them in some kind of hierarchy of how this works. Again, this is all later things being read back into the text. That's not there from the beginning. So what is here from the beginning, and important for us to recognize here, is what Peter is saying to the elders. They are to shepherd, they are to exercise oversight, they're to do this not under obligation, just doing it because they have to, because they what they want to, not to gain from it, but to do it eagerly. Not to lord it over, but to be examples. And this is important because this, of all passages, is the passage that would explain to those who are elders or would be elders what the role is. Yes, there are qualifications that are mentioned in other passages, and the qualifications are important. But qualifications, while they can kind of lay the groundwork so that you can do the role, don't tell you how to do the role, right? They just show you this is what is necessary in order to take on the role. Just like you see a job description, right, that you have to have certain qualifications to have a certain job, just because you meet the qualifications doesn't mean that you automatically understand what the job is. And yet here we can see what the purpose is. The shepherd's care and oversight are what the elders are. And that's a great way of looking at these terms. We could call an elder a bishop or a pastor. But what looks like here, as Peter has used, elder is the term to describe the office, and the shepherding and oversight are words to describe its function. The word elder itself has a very long history. If you go back in the Old Testament, we see that in the tribes of Israel, that they were governed by elders, and that elders would sit in the city gate and they would adjudicate for people in town. That in the decentralized authority of earlier days, the elders maintained the role of prominence in adjudicating things. And even likely into the days of the kings, even though they're centralized authority, in more smaller contexts, things like that would be handled by the elders. Elders are honored and respected as such because it is believed that their life experience has given them a better perspective. To be able to do these things in ways that are more impartial and ways that are for the benefit of others. The shepherding is the predominant metaphor throughout for how leadership is to be exercised. Moses was a shepherd, David was a shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd. And in fact, Peter will call him the chief shepherd in verse 4. And God is a shepherd. And in fact, God in Ezekiel, in particular, Ezekiel. 34 and other passages will condemn the shepherds of Israel, these leaders or rulers of Israel who fatten themselves on the flock, who did not, protect the flock, did not bring the flock to a healthy place, just fleeced the flock for their own advantage. And Peter is aware of that, and that's why Peter points out that's not what elders are supposed to do. Instead, the shepherd is someone who is supposed to be willing to suffer for the flock, who leads the flock, who is acquainted with the sheep, and the sheep know him. They go around and make sure that the sheep are well fed and well watered, and they make sure to take care of any possible dangers because sheep are dumb. And that's why they need protection from wolves or from lions or from bears or from humans who are trying to create mischief. And so from that, we can see that the elder's role is to be on guard against those who would introduce false teachings. And that's why Paul bitterly lamented in Acts 20 that some of the elders he's talking to would be the ones who would bring in the false teachings. And when it's one of the elders or a couple of the elders who are the agents of the false doctrine, it's going to be very hard for that flock to maintain faithfulness and health. So there needs to be extra vigilance on the role of the elders. And the elders are to make sure that the people are not being led astray by false teachings. And part of that is to be involved in their lives and to provide that counsel and direction, to provide that kind of advisory counseling role. And, of course, that requires that people allow the elders into their lives to be able to do such things. That's the way that it's supposed to work. And that's what exercising care as a shepherd looks like, and a shepherd's care for their flock. Oversight would deal with the administration. Oversight means that they are overseeing everything. That, again, effective oversight is not that they're doing everything, but in the end, they're the ones making sure everything gets done. So oversight means that all legal matters, all things related to the state in terms of nonprofit status, tax reporting, these days, in some places, especially in California, making sure fingerprint databases are maintained, things like that, for volunteers, all that stuff is being handled by the elders or is being delegated to deacons, with the elders ultimately being responsible, making sure that it happens. The treasury, the finances of the church are under the oversight of the elders and the exercise of those funds in the various ways they're being used. Maintenance of any property, working with preachers or other ministers or people who are employed to fulfill various functions necessary for the sufficient operation of the church. And in 1 Timothy 5, it is clear that elders themselves can be paid for that role, that especially those who are active in preaching and teaching should have the double value. Normally, churches that have elders also will have a preacher or preachers, but that does not mean that the elders themselves cannot preach and should not preach. In fact, they should be active in the preaching and teaching of the truth to the flock that is part of how they exercise overship and the shepherding. So all of this is the work that's supposed to be done, as you can see from these terms, from the word oversight and the word shepherding. And not only that, Peter wants them to do it in specific ways. He wants them to do it not as a duty, but willingly under God's direction, not for shameful profit, but eagerly, not lording it over, but as examples to the flock. And all of those are very important. There's a lot of respect that should come to elders because it's very thankless work. And so if you don't want to do it, it's not going to get any better. You also need to do it under God's direction. It's very easy for elders to become little lords. Power can go to their heads and they begin to do what God condemned the Israelite shepherds for doing, which is to exploit, to gain from the flock, the fleecing of the flock. And so that's why the elders are to look at the chief shepherd, Jesus, who suffered for the flock, who gave up himself for the flock. That's the model that they're supposed to be using. They're submitting themselves to rule of God. Elders, even though they have a place of oversight, are also charged in Ephesians 5:21 to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So there is that mutual submission going on there, where it's not about power and authority. It's about serving God in the most effective way possible, and to recognize that their authority is not in just standing up and making pronouncements or making demands of people, But it's based upon example, the influence of example to model it, to embody the faith, and that they are basically, when elders are doing the job, they can say to the people, imitate me as I imitate Christ, and that they will be modeling what it looks like to follow Christ, modeling Christ's love, Christ's nature of authority over, based in love and humility and service, help, trying to plead toward people to go toward what is healthy and good for them. That's the kind of model that we have here that Peter is trying to suggest and Peter is trying to emphasize. And this is incredibly important because this is something that should exist to this day. There are some who want to say, well, the elders were the inspired choice of the apostles and the Spirit, and that's all ended. Well, throughout the New Testament, the expectation were that local churches were to be shepherded by elders, that elders' qualifications did not involve any kind of specific forms of inspiration, that you can have men qualified based on what is said in Scripture today and can exercise that office. And that is what is intended and what is ideal. Now, is it the only way that congregations can be organized? We can see in Corinth, maybe in Thessalonica, especially in the early days of Thessalonica, that there were no elders, no one's qualified, and congregations therefore become the one that maintain their own business and run themselves. But that, having said that, that is a possibility. It should not be what is aspired to or ideal. It is always best to follow the pattern God has set forth, which is for there to be qualified men. And where there are not congregations of qualified men, there should be a goal that there would be a point where there would be qualified men and there would be the opportunity to have that kind of eldership and to encourage men to serve as elders and to provide the instruction and the faithful embodiment of what it means to be a godly elder or to constantly encourage based upon the principles of Jesus's shepherding, how we should be effective shepherds so that they are able to take on that role and to glorify God in that work. Because, as Peter will then say in verse 4, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades away. The crown here is a Stephanos crown of victory. It is not the crown of rule. And the crown of victory is the chief shepherd is commending his under shepherd for the work they have done, that the elder is going to have to look to Jesus for their ultimately for the confidence and for the endurance to persevere in that role. Yes, there are always times elders can find moments of appreciation or moments where they really see the value of their work, but a lot of times it's just going to be a slog. A lot of times it's going to be only when they think about how God, Jesus is going to commend them for what they're doing. That's going to give them the motivation that they're doing this to serve Jesus. And so that's where we, yes, it's not to be as an obligation in terms of it's just that you feel like you have to, but there is this healthy sense in realizing this is what Jesus wants and that we are seeking to serve Jesus. And the one who says they don't want to, even though they could, needs to think very hard about their relationship with God and Christ and why they do not want to emulate the example of their Lord and Savior and Shepherd, and to take on his mantle because it is something very important. And any congregation that does not have them can attest to why it's important, but also congregations that have some who are less than godly, as some of those Ezekiel 34 type shepherds who are fleecing the flock or taking out their trauma on the flock, that can be very unhelpful as well. Peter then continues, in the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. So Peter has now addressed the elders. He now turns to those who are younger, to be subject to the elders, very much like Hebrews 13:17, that the work goes a lot better when the people are not making it hard. Because it's already challenging. And when the sheep willingly submit to the shepherds, it goes a lot better than when the shepherd has to drag them kicking and screaming the entire way. And this is one of those charges that's easily neglected, and we must constantly keep it in mind. It is not something that should be used as a cudgel, that it should not be coerced here. Again, just like what was said earlier, this is an exhortation that young people should willingly, voluntarily be subject to those who are the elders, as the elders are not to lord it over those who are younger. But then Peter encourages everybody, older and younger, everybody, to the one attribute that's necessary to make this all work, and that is humility. We are to clothe ourselves with humility, very powerful metaphor. And he quotes Proverbs 3:34 in the Greek, which is also the same verse quoted and theme extended by James in James 4:6 through 10. Because when we're humble, we recognize that we are among one another, and before God, we won't think too highly of ourselves. It is only when we get arrogant that we think that we can lord it over the flock, or think that we should gain from the flock, or it's only when the young get arrogant, they think they know better than the elders. And we need to be careful about all of that mentality. And since Christ was humble, if we want to be as Christ, we must be humble, because we do not want God to resist us, right? We want Him to give us the grace. We don't want to find that God is in opposition to us. So Peter has addressed this group of people who are in various churches, who are going through times where the people around them are at best tolerant with some apprehension, and at worst actively persecuting them. They're suffering because they're doing good. They're called upon to continue to suffer despite doing good and entrusting themselves to a faithful creator. Meanwhile, in terms of their own functioning, there should be elders among them. Those elders should serve well. They should shepherd and exercise oversight according to the model given to them in Jesus, and they should themselves be living as that model and exercising leadership by that model. Those who are younger should be submitting to them, and all should be humble toward one another, all of them submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that is why we all would do well to be clothed with humility, to serve in the roles in which we find ourselves, and faithfully embody Jesus in them to glorify Him and glorify His Father. We're so glad that you've joined us. I'm Ethan, work at the Venice Church of Christ. We are a non-denominational church of disciples making disciples in Los Angeles. We'd love to hear your thoughts about our conversation here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Please let us know in the comments. Let us go to God in prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. We're so thankful for the blessings you've given us, the blessings of this creation, of life, health, and prosperity. And we're especially thankful, Father, for the blessings you've given us in Jesus, for his sacrifice, for the opportunity we have to be jointly participating in him, that he is our chief shepherd, for the witness we have of him in the scriptures, for the Spirit, for the word of the apostles, for one another, for all good things. We are mindful of those who are ill. We pray that you'd heal them. We pray that you would comfort, strengthen, and sustain those grief and distress and pain, that you would preserve life where it is in danger. Pray for all people, especially those in authority, that we may live in godly and tranquil ways, and that all may come to knowledge of truth and be saved. We are especially thankful, Father, that you have exercised oversight over us in Jesus and his model as our chief shepherd. We pray, Father, that you would strengthen and encourage those who serve as elders in churches to do so in ways that faithfully embody Jesus and to your glory and honor. We pray that younger men may aspire to the same, to be able to preserve that leadership for yet another generation. And that we would all have those strength and insight to maintain humility among one another, so that we can glorify and serve you most effectively. And look forward to that day when the chief shepherd will appear, and that we will share in the resurrection of life in him. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're so glad that you've joined us. If we can be of any further service to you, we'd love to. Please let us know. Reach out to us at VenniceChurchOfChrist.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. May the Lord bless and keep you until we're able to meet again.